So as we go through this study, we're getting into the part where there's going to be some confusion, there's going to be some debates. And the reason why is because the way that we have taught these last three chapters in the brotherhood. I'm not talking about in the religious world. I'm talking about in the brotherhood. We're going to have to ask ourselves as we hear the things that are being brought out that may be different from what we have heard in the past. Who's right? There's one thing about apocalyptic speech or figurative speech or prophetic speech that you need to understand. I can be right and you can be wrong. You can be right and I can be wrong. We both can be wrong, but we both can't be right. And in books like these, this is where we have to ask ourselves, how is what is being presented is in accordance with the Word of God? As I pointed out several times in this class, understanding of the Bible is important in understanding books like the Book of Revelation and others. In the Book of Revelation, there are up to 350 allusions to the Old Testament. So therefore, a knowledge of the Old Testament will help you and me in the study of the book of Revelation. I understand how we've been taught in the past. I was taught the same way, and I have taught that way. But over time, questions arose in the teaching. And that's how we get to the truth. What I am presenting to you, ask yourself, what's he saying? How does what he is bringing out differ from what I've been taught and differ from what the Bible teaches, if it differs at all? We're going to get into a judgment scene. We're going to get into what seems to be an end time scene. We're going to ask ourselves, what's the truth? As I pointed out in this lesson, that we are dealing with a vision. A vision that is delivering a lot of things to us. A vision in which, for most part, we are taking as figurative speech. But when we get to certain sections, we're going to say this is literal. And then we run into conflict because we are in a vision. In the vision, we see a picture and we ask ourselves, what is the truth? Now, are there basic biblical principles in the vision? Yes, there are. And we need to understand that. There is basic biblical principles in the vision. But simply because there's basic principles in the vision does not mean that everything in the vision is to be literal. And not everything in a vision is to be historically correct. And we've already shown evidence that proves that point. So as we go through these last three chapters, understand that we are still in a vision up to the point that we get to chapter 22 and verse 5. 22:5 ends the vision. From 4:1 to 22:5 is the vision in the book of Revelation. And it deals with the things that must shortly come to pass, for the time is at hand. It deals with Rome and its persecution of the church that was to begin with the reign of Domitian. Okay? So let's keep these things in mind. In chapter 20, we're going to do an introduction. I feel like an introduction is needed on this. You guys might have thought that was an introduction, but it wasn't. This is an introduction to chapter 20. We have seen up to this point Rome in her symbolic manifestation as being defeated. Rome has been defeated. If you remember when we read chapter 11 and verse 15, the seventh trumpet sound and a great shout of victory went up. I have told you time again in this book that when the seventh trumpet sounds, all the bowls of wrath are poured out upon the ungodly. And that's why the great shout goes up. Now we're getting details of that judgment. Also, we have seen in this book that Satan, in his use of Rome, remember, Rome is his incarnation, is defeated. Rome is defeated. The day of the Lord has fell upon Rome. And if you remember, and you can check this out as you look through your Bible, anytime the day of the Lord falls upon an ungodly nation, that nation never rises again. That's an important point as you talk Bible with some of the other religious beliefs that take the stand that there will be a revived Roman Empire. But my Bible tells me once the day of the Lord falls upon an ungodly nation, that nation never rises again. And we see it throughout the book. In the fall of Rome, Satan is not just hindered. Satan is not just slowed up. He is not partially defeated, but he is completely stopped in his use of Rome. In the fall of Rome, in Rome's defeat, the saints are seen as victors, not victims. They are seen as victors, perfectly triumphant over the evil. They are those who have completely annihilated Rome. Of course, obedience to the Christ, of course. And these two concepts, that the saints are victors and that the saints have completely annihilated Rome in the army of Christ, these two points will be seen and is seen in the 1,000-year reign. And we'll discuss that here in a minute. But Satan will manifest himself again. Sometime, somewhere, with someone, some nation, Satan will manifest himself again before the church is received up in the final coming of Christ to receive her glory. That is a biblical truth. But here in the book of Revelation, in his use of Rome, he is defeated. This truth that Satan will come at us again is taught in the idea, in the phrase, he is loose for a little time. And we'll discuss that here shortly too. When the 1,000 years are up, and remember the idea of number 10. The number 10 is the number of completeness in prophetic speech. When the 1,000 years are up, Satan will attack the church again. It will not be in the use of Rome, but it is seen in the use of Gog and Magog. And we'll discuss that when we get to it. Gog and Magog, I'll let you know now, stands for anybody and everybody, anyone who is ungodly, who would be used as Satan's tool against the church of God. The state of those who belong to Christ is set forth as reigning 1,000 years. The state of those who have died for Jesus is set forth in the resurrection and in the reigning picture. So those who live will reign with Christ 1,000 years. And those who have been martyred for the cause of Christ, they will be resurrected here in chapter 20, and they too will reign for 1,000 years with Christ. The state of those who died in the service of Rome is set forth in 1,000-year death and in the resurrection into the lake of fire. It is crucial for us to bear in mind as we go through chapter 20 that we are in a vision. We have seen a number of pictures up to this point. We have looked at the pictures and we have asked ourselves, what is the truth? And we have seen the truth as the Bible has presented it. So keep that in mind. Keep in mind your memory verses in this book. I know memory verses are just for children, but oftentimes you'll find some hard-headed individual who will give memory verses to the whole class. I was told to give you memory verses, not that I'm hard-headed. That was somebody else. 2 Peter chapter 1, 20 and 21 is your base memory verse for this class. No prophecy of Scripture is of private interpretation. For no prophecy ever came by the will of man, but man speak as from God, being guided by the Holy Spirit. This tells you and me not only of the inspiration of the Bible, but it tells you and me that one must be grounded in the Bible if he's going to understand the Bible. Also remember your verses, Revelation 1:1, Revelation 1:3, Revelation 22:6, Revelation 22:10. These are the things which must shortly come to pass, for the time is at hand. Also remember with Revelation 22:10, Daniel chapter 8. We know the dates of the book, and in verse 26 of Daniel chapter 8, Daniel is told, shut up the book, for it is a long time to come. And we have talked about, and we have gone through Daniel, and we know that 386 years is the length of that vision. And God says, shut up the book, for it's a long time coming. In Revelation 22:10, he says, do not shut up the book. Why? For the time is at hand. This will help us as we study. Now, if you will, flip over on the back page of your study guide. I want to give you a list of main images and phrases in chapter 20. There's 11 of them. A list of main images and phrases of chapter 20. Number one, a 1,000-year binding. A 1,000-year binding. And I'll go slow. If I go too fast, yell out, okay? Number two, a 1,000-year reign. A 1,000-year reign. Number three, a first resurrection. A first resurrection. Number four, a 1,000-year death. A 1,000-year death. Number five, a little season of satanic freedom. A little season of satanic freedom. Number six, a Gog and Magog host. A Gog and Magog host. Gog, G-O-G, Magog, M-A-G-O-G. Magog, host. Host, yes. Number seven, an invasion of a holy city. An invasion of a holy city. Number eight, a second resurrection. A second resurrection. Number nine, a second death. A second death. Number 10, a judgment scene. A judgment scene. And then number 11, a lake of fire. A lake of fire. Do I need to repeat anything? Good. You guys got you some quick pencils. That's good. All right. So there's your introduction to chapter 20. Chapter 20, beginning with verse 1. And I saw an angel coming down out of heaven, having the key of an abyss and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, the old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years, and cast him into the abyss and shut it up and sealed it over him, that he should deceive the nations no more until the 1,000 years should be finished. After this time, he must be loosed for a little while. And I saw thrones and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that had been beheaded for the testimony of Jesus and for the word of God, and such as worshiped not the beast, neither his image, received not the mark upon their forehead and upon their hand, that they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. The rest of the dead lived not until 1,000 years should be finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the second resurrection. Over these the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and they shall reign with him 1,000 years. Verse 7. And when 1,000 years are finished, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, and shall come forth to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to war, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up over the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city, and fire came down out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into a lake of fire and brimstone, which are also where are also the beast and the false prophet, and they shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat upon it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead and the great and the small standing before the throne. Books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of the things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works, and death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, even the lake of fire. And if any was not found written in the book of life, he was cast into the lake of fire. So there's chapter 20. We see in verse 1, point 1 on your study guide, the angel with the key to the abyss and the great chain, verses 1 through 3. We see now an angel coming down out of heaven. And he has a key to the abyss. If you remember in chapter 9, it was Satan who had the key to the abyss. But now it's the angel. So this shows us here right at the beginning of chapter 20 that Satan is seen as a defeated foe. The chain is used to bind him, throws him into the pit, and seals it up for 1,000 years. This idea of 1,000 years is not to be taken literal. It is not time at all. You remember I gave you a list of numbers in prophetic speech at the beginning of the class. I pointed out that sometimes in prophetic speech, numbers mean numbers. But oftentimes in prophetic speech, numbers mean much more than numbers. This is the case. The number 10 in prophetic speech speaks of completeness. To multiply it by 100 makes it 1,000, shows that it is complete. There is no doubt. The point here, the 1,000-year binding, the point here is just simply that he is totally, completely, and flawlessly bound in his use of Rome against the church. So the 1,000 years does not have anything to do with time. It has to do with the idea of completeness. In Psalm 50, in verse 10, God has 1,000 cattle on 1,000 hills. God has cattle on 1,000 hills. Well, how about hill 1,001? In Psalm 105 in verse 8, he says his covenant is good for 1,000 generations. What about generation 1,001? So you see the idea of 1,000 is not to be taken literal, but it is to show completeness, totality. Now you will read in some of your commentaries that there are those who say that the 1,000 years is the Christian reign. It is not the Christian reign. It is not a period of time before Jesus' coming. And it is not the period of time at the destruction of Rome that the gospel flourishes. This is not the meaning of the 1,000-year binding. The 1,000-year binding, very simply, means that Satan is completely and totally bound, defeated in his use of Rome. And there's the idea there. In chapter 20, verses 4 through 6, point 2 on your study guide, we have the saints. Notice as you look at these verses, we have the saints sitting on thrones. Judgment has been given unto them. If you remember, this is Jesus' promise to the faithful that they would reign with him. Look at Revelation chapter 2. And we want to look at verses 26 and 27. Revelation 2, 26, 27. Where he says, "And he that overcomes, and he that keeps my works unto the end, to him, notice, I will give authority over the nations. And he shall rule them, the nations, with a rod of iron, as vessels of the potter are broken to shivers, as I also received from my Father." And also, if you'll notice over here in Revelation chapter 30, verse 21, to the church at Laodicea, he writes, "He that overcomes, I will give to him to sit down with me in my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father in his throne." So the idea of the saints reigning are seen in the promises of Christ Jesus. They share with him rule over the nations. Now, not to get into it, but just something for you to think about. What does it mean to rule nations? What does a king do? He rules what? His territory. His territory. Now, what I want you to think about, oftentimes, and there are some verses in the Bible that speaks of the church as the kingdom and the kingdom alone. But there's other passages of Scripture that will present the kingdom as the kingdom much more than the church. And this is one of those passages. All are under the rule of Christ. Doesn't mean that everybody's in a covenant relationship. But all will answer to the rule of Christ. And as Paul pointed out, that time will come in Philippians chapter 2 that every knee shall bow and confess Jesus as Lord. It's better to do it in a covenant relationship. So think about that as you study the kingdom passages. But I also want to point out that the idea of the saints ruling was prophesied in the book of Daniel. Turn to Daniel chapter 7. And I told you a couple of weeks ago that the Daniel chapter 7 will help us to understand much of the book of Revelation. In Daniel chapter 7, we'll pick up in verse 15. This is the vision of the four night beasts. "As for me, Daniel, my spirit was grieved in the midst of my body, and the visions of my head troubled me. And I came near unto the one of them that stood by and asked him the truth concerning all this. So he told me and made me to know the interpretation of the things. These are great beasts which are four kings that shall arise up out of the earth." Now let me stop there. When you study the book of Daniel, the scope of the book of Daniel is from Babylon to Rome. Keep that in mind. There are some who do not like predictive prophecy to not include Rome. But as you study the book of Daniel, the scope of the book of Daniel is from Babylon to Rome. In the vision, the night vision here, Babylon is seen as a lion. Medo-Persia is seen as a bear. The Grecian kingdom is seen as a leopard. And the fourth kingdom, which is Rome, is seen as an undescribable beast that stamped and crunched out everybody. Well describes the kingdom of Rome. Okay, verse 18. "But the saints of the Most High shall receive the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. Then I desired to know the truth concerning the fourth beast, which was diverse from all of them, exceedingly terrible, whose teeth were of iron and nails of brass, and devoured and brake in pieces and stamped the residue with its feet. Once again, describes Rome. And concerning the 10 horns that were on its head, and the other horn which came up, and before which 3 fell, even that horn which had eyes and a mouth that spake great things, whose look was more stout than its fellows. Now, as you remember, a few weeks ago we discussed this in John chapter 17. John had 5 kings. Then he had one that was to come, only last for a little while. Then he had an 8th. Here in the book of Daniel, we have a 10-horned beast that has an 11th horn. The 11th horn plucks up 3. Now, it's not important that it's not historically correct. What's important is that the 11th horn becomes the number 8. In prophetic speech, that is the resurrection number, a number of a new beginning. And under the reign of Domitian, persecution of the church, which ended with Nero, begins again. So there's the idea there. All right. Verse 21. And I beheld the same horn, notice, made war with the saints and prevailed against them until the Ancient of Days came, verse 22, until the Ancient of Days came and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High, and the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. Now, for time's sake, we'll stop there. But you'll see in Revelation 20, it's talking about the saints receiving the kingdom, and this was prophesied in Daniel chapter 7. When did the saints receive the kingdom? At the judgment of the fourth beast. Judgment of the saints was upon the harlot. Revelation 18, verse 20. And of course, chapter 11, verses 15 through 18, where they are given their reward. The saints receive their reward. Once again, if you have problems with this passage of Scripture, go back and read Daniel. And if some future, if we study Daniel, we'll go back and forth with this again, too, so that we'll understand it clearly. Now, as we look in Daniel, we're back in Revelation 20. As we look about Revelation 20, you notice he's talking about the living up to this point. But let's pick up in 4b. And I saw the souls of them that had been beheaded for the testimony of God and for the word of God, and such as worship not the beast, neither his image, and received not the mark upon their forehead and upon their hand, and they lived, and notice, and they reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. So not only do the living reign with Christ for 1,000 years, but those who had been martyred for the faith of Christ, for the testimony of the word, they also receive the 1,000-year reign. Now this would bring encouragement to those saints during this time, knowing that not only if they died for the faith, not only if they died for the faith, they would still be protected just as the living were. Okay? So the dead in Christ also share victory with those who live. Any questions up to this point? All right. Picking up point 3 on your study guide. Satan is loose. In verse 6, blessed and holy is he that hath part of the first resurrection. Over thee, the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and they shall reign for 1,000 years. The second death in the book of Revelation, let's go ahead and bring this out, and we'll have to hit it next week, of course. The second death speaks of defeat. The second death speaks of defeat. Keep that in mind. Notice the martyrs, they rise up and they reign. But the second death speaks of defeat, and that's what it talks of. The lake of fire is the only a second death to those who died serving Satan in Rome. It doesn't speak of the saints. And if you'll notice as you read the passage that the devil, death and Hades are personified in the book of Revelation. These also go into the lake of fire. Biblical principle? Yes. Book of Revelation teaches the defeat of Satan and Rome. That's what's being taught here. I want you to picture a battlefield. I want you to picture a battlefield, and there are dead on both sides. Those in Christ live, they come back to life. They have life restored back into them. John sees bodies resurrected, not just souls. He sees bodies resurrected. They live and they reign for 1,000 years. Shows complete victory. Time, remember, time is not the issue. 1,000 years is to the first, to the slain, and then they are resurrected and they rule. This is the first resurrection. That's kind of quick. Now, for the last 3 minutes, we'll deal with point three next week. I want you to understand, we'll bring this up next week if there's any confusion. The Bible does not teach two resurrections. The Bible does not teach two resurrections. Turn, if you will, to John chapter 5. In John chapter 5, Jesus will say, "Marvel not, but the hour will come when," notice, "all who are in the tomb shall hear my voice. Those that have done good unto the resurrection of life, those who have done evil unto the resurrection of judgment." There are those who will pervert this passage of Scripture and says that the Bible teaches two resurrections, and they'll go to chapter 20 to help confirm this. But notice, verse 28 says that the hour, NIV will say the time, the hour will come when all who are in the tomb, not just some that are in the tomb, not a division of those that are in the tomb, but all who are in the tomb shall hear my voice, and they will come forth. And then he describes who will come forth. Those who have done righteousness, those who have done bad. One resurrection, two results of that resurrection. Okay? Now, if there's any question on that, we'll pick it up when we start next week, Lord willing. All right? Okay, we'll stop there. God bless you.